We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast Week 7, wrapping up. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast or the Roto Grinders Fantasy Football Podcast feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Mr. Nate Noling on a somber occasion. Rest in peace to DK Metcalf, likely torn ACL. Breece Hall, likely torn ACL.
San Diego Padres, likely.
Also, rest in peace.
We won't see them until 2023.
Yeah. It was, the football was terrible today. A lot of snowflakes. Although, for the first time, I think, in recorded human history, the afternoon games did actually shoot out. PMR actually was pretty important. You know, other than Burrow, Chase, and Tyler Boyd. In the early games, it was all about, you know, getting your Greg Dulcich's in there and the Chiefs go off. So, I mean, just running into DK Metcalf torn ACL and cash does not feel great.
Well, you know what they say, the curse of the third Seahawk, Davis.
that is what they say. Is it better than a third Raider though? Is it better than a third Raider?
did Nate play three Raiders?
No, I almost did. I almost played Renfro. I was pretty close to Renfro and cash. Like, man, this slate was hard.
It was hard. I thought
it was a crappy day of football, obviously, but like even going into lock this morning, it was hard. I mean, we've talked about this a lot on the show, but like the last couple of weeks, having high-priced quarterbacks that you could like spend a significant portion of your salary and be comfortable with how you were spending it. There was nobody I felt comfortable with spending this week on. Outside of the running back position, none of the wide receivers I felt great about. Even CeeDee Lamb was like the chalkiest wide receiver I didn't feel great about. Like I didn't feel excited about almost anyone in my lineup. So decisions were just, it was hard to come by this week to build.
See, I'm the exact opposite. This was my happy place. Pay down at QB, pay down at tight end. This is my shit, baby. Woohoo!
I think it felt good.
I felt right at home.
Anyone who played Mark Andrews or Gerald Everett or whatever, I know I lost this week, but you're worse than me if you didn't pay a min price tight end this week. Come on, in cash,
that's real bad.
Davis, weren't you texting us that you wanted to play Everett this morning?
Well, okay, so we'll do the little rewind. Okay, guys, so just as we get into it, DraftKings is down right now. It's like displaying things intermittently, so we're not going to have like all of our normal, like, I don't have like the percentages pulled up from the massive $50 double up and everything.
But I think one thing we can be pretty sure of is I think me and Sammy smashed and you didn't.
That is correct.
I played the what actually was the top blended optimal, but was not really duplicated. The most duplicated roster construction was Geno Smith, Josh Jacobs, Kenneth Walker, Austin Eckler, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, and then a 5K wide receiver of Renfro, DJ Moore, Romeo Doubs, and Foster Moreau with the Jets defense. So what I did versus that was I played Joe Mixon instead of Austin Eckler and played Chris Godwin instead of a 5K wide receiver.
Oh my God. You didn't. I mean, this is great because I haven't been able to look at our labs. You didn't play Eckler. Jesus.
I didn't play Eckler.
I think if you tell me the score of all of these games, I think I probably actually just play the same team. I think if I know that the Buccaneers are down the entire game, I think I just jam Godwin. And I think if I know that the Bengals, what they score 45, I think I just play Mixon. I get Mixon.
Like, I think Mixon wasn't a bad play to me. Like, Mixon was one of those guys who all of the expected metrics showed that he had massive regression coming from a touchdown standpoint. Like, I don't think Mixon was bad, but Eckler right now is like getting the best volume in the league. There's no reason to fade.
Well,
he's
not getting the best volume in the league.
Yes, Josh Jacobs is getting the best volume in the league. Dude, so I texted it, this is for the listeners. I texted these yokels on, what was it, yesterday or Friday? And I said, you guys, I've had an epiphany. It's Austin Eckler in cash. And Davis like started dunking immediately. And as the week wore on, certainly started popping in the optimals. But Davis is like, I'm not paying $8,300 for a timeshare back. And bro, it doesn't matter that he doesn't play all the snaps. He has the highest amount of high value touches. He just gets an enormous amount of work through the air, and now they're using him in the red zone. They were a little iffy on it like the first game or two, but like he's been scoring a ton of touchdowns. Like,
well, I was going to play Eckler until I determined that Keenan Allen was going to play. And I thought the best Eckler team included DeAndre Carter at 3,700. And
I think the DeAndre Carter thing was bad. I think sometimes when we have these late news situations, we like overvalue guys. Like DeAndre Carter wouldn't have been a jam if Keenan was ruled out on Wednesday. DeAndre Carter would have been less than 10% owned in cash, and instead it became the talk of everybody.
I mean, DeAndre Carter got 7 targets in a game Keenan played anyway, so he probably would have been a pretty good play.
No, I don't think DeAndre Carter would have been that good of a play. I don't think.
Well, we kind of saw it because Keenan really didn't play very much. He wasn't out on the field as far as I saw.
He only got 2 targets. To be honest, after DK tore his knee, like I was like, I'm not watching this shit.
You went out and walked the dog for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I was like, it's like, and obviously my team would have been fine had DK not. A DK not torn his ACL because he
would it have. We should tell the listeners what our teams actually were.
So I played
Davis. I don't think it would have.
Okay. Well, maybe not. I don't have the double ups pulled up, but I'm still the data I have available says I'm getting 70% back right now. So I'm assuming with more than 2.2 points from Metcalf. So I played Geno Smith, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, Chris Godwin, Foster Moreau, Kenneth Walker, and the Jets defense for 141.6 points.
Disgusting. Nate, what'd you have?
I had Derek Carr, Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, DJ Moore, Foster Moreau, Kenneth Walker, and Jets D for 178.84.
You played Derek Carr?
I think me and you were a 1v1. I think I went Carr and you went Geno.
Yeah. Yeah. I went Geno, and then I had Jacobs, Kenneth Walker, and Eckler as the running backs. CD, T. Higgins, the true alpha, DJ Moore, as the wide receiver three. Nate, we are true men. We are mentally strong.
That was the one thing I felt good about today. At 11:30, I had this realization. I was like looking at numbers and everything is saying like, oh, Romeo Doubs is probably better. And then I thought to myself, am I really going to play Romeo freaking Doubs over DJ Moore with no Christian McCaffrey after they
just Aaron Rodgers had like 39 passing yards at halftime. Fuck all that.
I just had this moment of clarity where I don't care. I just locked DJ Moore and built around it. It was just one of those like
I don't compliment Sammy's teams very often, even when he does win, but I do think that playing DJ Moore was mentally strong. I thought that was really
9% owned in the $25 double up. 3.9%.
Yeah. A lot of mentally weak people out there.
A $4,900 DJ Moore. We need to be more Bayesian in our approach, people. Like, this is insane to me that he was 3.9.
So you guys played T straight up over DK.
Yep.
And then you played Eckler and Moore over Godwin and Mixon. Yeah. Is how it, and then Nate for some reason played Derek Carr, I guess, because he just
for some reason. Okay, Derek Carr was not a bad play. Like,
it's Josh Jacobs' team, bro.
If Josh Jacobs doesn't get four touchdowns here, Derek.
I mean, I do think
Carr probably over Geno felt fine to me. I don't think Derek Carr is more efficient. Slightly higher team total.
That's got to be cap, right? The idea, like if I go and look at EPA and CPOE right now, I guarantee Geno's better.
Maybe over a 5-week sample, but like a Tyler Lockett.
Buddy, this is a brand new Seahawks team.
Geno Smith with a gimpy Tyler Lockett. No, it's
I actually, I actually, we talked about this a little bit in the group chat this morning. I actually didn't feel great about Geno, not because I was going to play Derek Carr. That was not on the agenda.
you just thought Lamar was going to give you the blade.
Well, no, I was worried about Geno efficiency stuff with no Lockett. And Lockett was not good in this game. Even with Metcalf out, he had 8 targets, 7 receptions, 45 yards. I mean, Geno was like, Geno is sick, dude. I mean, he just is dicing these teams up. He had 7 incompletions in this game. Like,
I was ready because my lineup left $300 on the table, and I was ready to pivot to Carr if Lockett was ruled out. It was kind of a tiebreaker. I didn't think Carr was bad. Obviously, the Raiders had, you know, a big potential to score a ton of points, but you know, in the end, I mean, Geno, baby, Geno, let's go.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident I would have played your guys' team had Keenan been ruled out, because your guys' team was the with Renfro was the blended optimal before all the sites projected Keenan back in.
Yeah, Levitan would call it an IKB, and I'm so happy.
Well, Metcalf over T was also an IKB. T was like a point or point and a half better than Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean,
that was an IKB.
You know, Nate and I just arrived on the DJ Moore at wide receiver three in a different way. You know, Nate, you know, I was like, wow, you need to be more Bayesian and, you know, yada, yada. And you know, look at his whopper. And I was like, yo, alpha's only on the team. Like, let's get the alpha on there. Let's go DJ Moore. What a stud.
It was a moment where I'm literally looking up like whopper. I'm looking up all these things. And I'm like, am I really going to play Romeo Doubs over DJ Moore? Like, no. Like, what are we doing here?
You want to know something we all did that was stupid, though? We all should have just played Dulcich, man. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing not playing Dulcich?
Yeah, this is tough.
He's just the man.
Yeah, we should have known that the team is definitely better off without Russell Wilson. You know, Jerry Jeudy had a pretty strong day. Dulcich had a good day. Like, they're fine without Wilson. Because I definitely would have played Dulcich if Wilson was in, I think.
Yeah. So I am looking. DK is back up now. I must have just ran hotter than the sun in head-to-heads because my score is not even close in these double-ups. But I scraped a good bit back in head-to-head. So turns out just a lot of donkeys played me this week. The most unreal thing to me was that Joe Burrow was 20% owned in cash. I didn't really consider him at all, and I didn't even really see him in optimals either.
Sometimes I see these ownership things like flip over and I'm like, there must be a site that I just don't look at or run in that group that pushes out an optimal that gets these guys to 30% or something.
I mean, like, Dubes was not in any optimals either. And he was 23% owned in cash.
Damn it. I love that you call him Dubes.
It's way better than Dobbs. Dubes is way better than Dobbs. And I got
a lot of people were on him. I think ETR had him higher. I think a lot of people had him as the highest of those three wide receivers.
Yeah, his like expected points, I think, are a little bit higher. But you know, I just think at the end of the day,
The last 2 weeks, his air yards have been up. But at the end of the day, he's still not even the number one on that team. It is still Alan Lazard. And so
DJ Moore is a number one. And certainly, like, obviously the Tampa Bay Carolina game didn't go how we thought it would go, even though we probably should have known that Brady continues to be big dust and they would suck. But you know, the way that the game was supposed to go is that Carolina was down and wouldn't be able to run the ball against Tampa. And they'd at least have to throw the ball a decent amount. And they have one good receiver, and that's DJ Moore. And he was going to get 8 to 10 targets and hopefully make a little bit out of him.
You guys made the right play. I'll admit when I play bad, honestly, it was. So the team that I was looking at had a 5K wide receiver in it. And with Eckler, and I was like, I'm not playing Renfro just for the swaps. Like, I hate Hunter Renfro. I don't think he's good. Like, I'm not just playing a 5K wide receiver in the late slate just for swaps. Like, I'm not.
You don't think
it.
He's good?
Not really. I mean, he's good the way like a lot of slot wide receivers are good. Like, they can beat the zone. He's good the way that, like, Juju's good. Like, Juju can, like, beat the.
You're down bad, buddy.
Theoretically, Juju can like is like a zone beater. He's going to find the soft spot and sit.
Renfro's good, and especially in this offense, he's good. I just don't.
Well, then I should have just played that team. Then I should have just played
I
that
just don't
team.
Don't think he's healthy.
But yeah,
I almost rolled the car Renfro Moreau Jacobs team.
Jesus like, Christ, you're a lunatic, Nate.
I know.
Nate has like 14 ounces of straight steak protein IV'd into his veins and some colostrum, and he's like, I'm just going full Raiders onslaught and cash, baby. Let's go.
I mean, Renfro got three targets. Like, I think not playing Renfro was fine, but I didn't want to play Dobbs. I didn't think he was good. I mean, I just don't want to play any Packers at this point in Aaron Rodgers' life. And
yeah.
And DJ Moore, it's like, dude, Chris Godwin got 13 targets. Like, he was 6,100. Like, I just, like, that's
I know. Godwin wasn't a bad play, but, like, getting Eckler in the lineup, I just thought was so crucial.
Bro. Mixon could have very easily had Josh Jacobs' game. They were up like a billion points at half.
Yeah, they wanted to get Burrow 500 passing yards, man. They were going for it.
This is so funny. They very clearly wanted to get T. Higgins 100 yards, but then once it became – so at the very end, it, like, became non-tenable for, like, game theory reasons just to run the clock out. So they get him to 98 yards, and then they were close enough to the end zone – that they would have gone for a touchdown to do it. And they were like, okay, like, let's just kneel the ball and get out of here. But they clearly wanted to get T 100 yards, and which is, I mean, for you guys has to be tilting because you played T. But
yeah, I guess, I mean, he was 49. I'm looking at the massive $25. Yeah,
I got that.
49%. 49% owned, man. Big. Like, Gino was 44.
Which means I got mega fucked by DK getting injured, because DK outscoring T would have got me there. The cash line in the massive $25 double up was 153.8. Give me.
You wouldn't have gotten there because of Eckler. Eckler was still 30 something percent owned.
But my team with 2 points for DK Metcalf has 141. So if Metcalf outscores T, even without Yeah, even with my team not having Eckler, I get there, which is like, whatever, injuries happen. And I don't think I played the best team anyway.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think I said my score. It was 180.4. Just throwing it out.
Because you played Geno instead of Carr. Carr should
have had three freaking touchdowns. Gosh.
IK being Derek Carr is like such a Nate play. It really is. Like,
it wasn't an IKB. DJ Moore was a legit go against the projection. This is an IKB.
But every site had Geno projected better.
I don't think that's true. My projections didn't. I don't think that most projections would have straight up. Maybe from a value standpoint, because Geno's $300 less.
Geno was in every optimal I looked at.
Well, optimals because they needed the salary. I think if you looked at raw projection, I bet it's closer than you think.
Again, I remember
optimals all week is people get stuck on these the way that value and they don't actually look at like raw numbers. Like Derek Carr was a better play. Raw, like salary aside.
Wait, but Nate, you gotta understand, like Geno is good and Derek Carr is average. Like that's the thing. You gotta watch the tape a little bit. Geno is balling his ass off.
Nate needs two more years of Geno balling before he can consider this as part of his priors. He needs the sam. I mean, you're probably gonna not have to deal with that reality because without DK Metcalf.
Without DK, without Lockett healthy. And yeah,
it's gonna be tough. Although, I mean, you do have to say, like DK Metcalf leaving after one quarter and Lockett playing hobbled, like he still had a pretty efficient road win against one of the teams that's like top four in Super Bowl odds, which is so funny, by the way. Like,
well, I mean, the Chargers' defense, J.C. Jackson went down. There was a bunch of injuries they had too. So,
ooh, Nate with the defensive player take, I like it. This is great.
But no, I. The Geno, whatever, Geno Carr.
I actually wish that DK scoring would not have updated before they just paid out because I didn't want to know how much that Metcalf injury cost me.
Well, Marquise Goodwin went 4 for 67 and 2 touchdowns. What did other people play?
So I'm looking at the massive $20 double up right now. It looks like a lot of people played Kate Otten instead of Moreau. They ended up getting that one correct.
Oh, yeah. That was tilting. Oh no! Yeah. I mean, was it correct? I mean, it wasn't until the last.
Oh, drive, not correct. Not correct point. Not correct in a vacuum, but correct.
I think it was fine in a vacuum. I think you were splitting hairs with those guys. Yeah. TBH.
It looks like the most duplicated team was. Maybe not one of the most duplicated teams.
The team that I saw the most in head-to-heads was Geno, Eckler, Jacobs, Walker, CD, T, Romeo Dobbs, Otten, and Jets.
I think that was the most duplicated.
So we just buried everybody with DJ Moore.
DJ Moore literally was the leverage point.
Sammy. Man, like that just was alpha status.
Alec Pierce was 18% owned.
Oh, all right.
So some site that we don't know of was counting them. I would say with how condensed the information is getting and how condensed the plays are, I don't hate the strategy of just 1v1ing a massive train at a spot like that, like going DJ Moore over Dobbs or whatever, because you're like chopping a lot of I don't know. I feel like that's got to be good.
I mean, you're definitely ramping up the variance. Like, I wasn't thinking about that really when I was playing Moore. I didn't really know what lineup people were going to play. I just thought Moore was better than Dobbs because he's an alpha and Dobbs is a beta.
I did not realize it was going to leverage me 8 times versus the field, though. Like, yeah. But
the move, as Levitan would say, is just to play as many head-to-heads as possible because some of these teams that people are going to turn over are going to be so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is always true. I mean, I was just looking through. I beat a couple guys who played Burrow because they didn't play Kenneth Walker. They didn't play Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, they're tripping. What was Lamar owned? Did people get up to Lamar?
I don't see any teams with Lamar, but I'm just
Lamar was hard to build through. Like it was hard to build the rest of the lineup. But I actually do think in a vacuum Lamar wasn't a bad play.
I tried to build a Lamar team and couldn't find anything.
Yeah, I went Lamar in tournaments. I thought Lamar was fine. I wouldn't like shame anybody if I saw flip him over in the head of the head.
Yeah, he was kind of the only, I guess besides Mahomes, because we didn't have like Hurts or Josh Allen.
Just feels like you can't play Mahomes in cash though, because he will randomly have the 280 and two games.
Yeah, and it's just it just chaps your ass so hard when they give like Mecole Hardman like 3 yard rush.
I mean, look, Okay, all right, that's a good segue. We can go to our tournament teams because nothing chapped me more than. Well, obviously, I didn't play Josh Jacobs on this team, which is pretty tilting, but we can do our tournament team. So all my tournament teams today were Mahomes teams. My Mahomes team in the SPY, 5% owned Patrick Mahomes, 9% owned Damian Pierce, 40% owned Kenneth Walker, which I feel totally fine with. Debo, 10%, MVS, 6%. I had DeAndre Carter on this team, and I swapped it to Braxton Berrios, who is 0.8% owned. He got 7 points, so he outscored DK Metcalf. George Kittle at 9%, Juju Smith-Schuster at 4%, and the Denver Broncos defense at 4%. I actually thought this team was really good. A lot of the times I go through these teams, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, why did I think that was good at lock? But I think I'm just going to keep playing these Chiefs wide receivers when they're like legit single digit owned every slate, because eventually Travis Kelce is going to have a 2-for-20 game while the like both MVS and Juju did it on low volume in this game. I think they combined for like 9 targets, but like eventually some team is like truly going to sell out and not let Kelce just get 100 yards every single game. And Mahomes is still the best. Like, they're like, nothing has changed in terms of how good he is. And I don't feel bad for not playing Josh Jacobs. Like, what are you going to do? Well, like, truly, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. It was all right. It was all right. I mean, Jacobs was like, you said 60% in the Millie Maker.
He was 55% owned in the SPY. The Jets defense. I mean, look, guys, if you were listening to this show and you were playing a 55% owned defense in these tournaments, like, just stop, bro. I promise you.
Just exclude and close your eyes and pick any other defense. Any other defense.
I'm not even going to quibble with the Jacobs stuff, because the Jacobs stuff is a much larger conversation about like what actually is optimal and everything. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that a 55% owned defense is never good. It's just not. Don't do it.
Yeah, agreed.
See, and CeeDee was I was surprised by this. I thought CeeDee would be one of those guys who is really chalky in cash, but not as owned in tournaments. No, fourth most owned guy in the SPY, 31%. That was surprising to me.
I didn't play any CD in tournaments. God, CD. I mean, Nate, CD killed me on Prize Picks, bro. 70 yards, 2 yards away from his prop. It cost me so much fucking scratch. It's just I'm steamed.
And they were still throwing at the end of the game too. It's like unbelievable. It's not, like they still threw a touchdown pass.
I don't understand how he went under. It was in the dome.
What was the Noah Brown? Bull crap. I mean, seriously, why is Noah Brown getting targets on this team? Like,
He was just open. Like it's not like any of the at the end of the game, it's not that any of the throws were specifically designed him. He was just open.
Most targeted wide receiver in the first.
Well, it's also tilting because he's kind of built like CD, and he's 80 and something.
They both have dreads. They both have dreads too.
God, 85 so,
88 looks.
Yeah,
the
it's really really tilting every time 85 comes up with the ball. You're like, no.
Yeah.
I don't even want to do my tournament teams. I locked Mark Andrews.
I can't wait to see what Nate flips over. It's just going to be some Galbraith nonsense.
I felt we talked about how obvious it was to play cheap tight ends in cash because that was the build. And I felt Mark Andrews was like the best leverage play of this late, and so most of my teams
he was 7% owned.
Yeah, he got 4 rushing yards on the day. Nate is smash show.
So he didn't bagel.
That's right, yeah. No bagel.
So I felt there was 2 things that I wanted to do in my teams. Number 1 was Mark Andrews. Number 2 is Mike Williams. I wanted Mike Williams exposure because I thought the Keenan stuff was up in the air, and I thought I could get Mike Williams, who would be a great play regardless of if Keenan was in or out, if Keenan was limited. even better, I'd just get Mike Williams at a lower
ownership. I so badly want to go back to Nate last week, who was telling me what a fish I was for not playing Mark Andrews in cash because all the leverage he gives, and tell him that the next week he will have zero receptions and just see what happens to him. Like
so tilted. I mean, it was
Nate slowly turns into a corn cob.
I flip over percentages and I was like, I love it. And yeah, it was awful. So
did you play any Jacobs?
I did have one team with Jacobs, but it was a Galbrain team that I knew was going to, it was a Sammy Watkins team that I was like,
the Lizard King almost won them the game, bro.
Buddy, did you say Sammy Watkins?
Yeah. I knew he was going to be like 0.7% owned. Nate, so
you gotta build it back down and start it back over again when these are your teams.
What's going on here? Dude, you need to listen to the reservation.
You need to listen to Blender's Theory of DFS audiobook, bro. Just 10 hours of it. Just 10 hours of Blender talking to you.
We're gonna proposition all the listeners of this show to literally like pool together a bunch of money. What do they call it?
A GoFundMe.
Yeah, GoFundMe to get the theory of DFS.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins determined. Christ on his throat.
I mean, come on, dude.
What the fuck?
Dude, I could have gotten 50. I could have gotten 50 plays into this slate before I considered playing Sammy Watkins.
Leverage off Dobbs, bro.
Leverage off Dobbs. like Nate, when you peel over a team and you have like three guys who are all less than 1% owned, it's not because you're that much smarter than the field. It's because these plays are so bad.
No. When you're trying to build a Lamar, Mark Andrews team, you have to have some min price guys.
I played a little bit of Khalif Raymond and Tom Kennedy for the Lions as my min price guys.
And you're gonna give me
crap. I'm
pretty sure Raymond had 100 yards.
He didn't quite have 100 yards, but he had a pretty good day. I think he had 75.
Yeah, he had 5 for 75. Yeah.
Khalif was a good play.
Khalif sucks. What did you? All right.
Khalif sucks.
Khalif sucks.
First off, before I throw my team out there, I just have to throw this out. In my most important seasonal league in this league, that's just like
nobody wants to hear.
Yeah, no. I just have to say it. I don't give a shit. Lamar, I was playing against my best friend, best man at my wedding. He had Lamar and Andrews.
Wow.
And I had Eckler, and he still whooped the crap out of me. So, you know.
Wow.
Congratulations, Justin. Good for you. All right. My tournament team. This one was just missed cashing after that Kenneth Walker. But this was in the red zone. And I played a Burrow double. Burrow, T, and
Hayden.
You didn't
cash with a Burrow. With T and Hurst. You were going to self-explain that?
Yeah. No chase. I was like, okay, it's a T day.
Did you bring it back?
I'm embarrassed to say that I did.
with London or with Kyle Schitt?
With Drake London. Oh, yeah.
This Drake London stuff is so tilting.
It's very bad. It's so I played. Good. And, it's really brutal.
Falcons players are legitimately unstartable. I think maybe when they go to Ritter, maybe, but not now. Not now.
Yeah. They're dead. So yeah, I played a Burrow double with T and Hurst and brought it back with London. I played Damian Pierce and Davante Adams to get off of Jacobs. So uber leverage.
I thought Adams was probably the best, like in a vacuum GPP play of the slate.
Yeah, I thought he was a great play. I actually did play some Jacobs in tournaments, but on this team, I really just wanted to get fat leverage off of him. So yeah, went with the other side with Damian Pierce and Adams. They did okay. Who else did I play on this team? I played Kenneth Walker as my other running back, and Jesus. Oh, the Tennessee Titans. That's why this team did well. The Tennessee Titans. So they scored 19. So this team scored 159.94 despite its shortcomings, but just came really close and didn't cash. It wasn't Walker. I had Walker. It was the last Eckler receiving touchdown that buried it. Yeah.
So I sorted by ownership at wide receiver in the spy, which is like, you know, I think like the response to Jacobs being the best play of the slate at 60% or whatever, your inclination is like, geez, just gotta smash the chalk, bro. CD Lamb, 31%, 10 points. T. Higgins, 21%, 14 points. Amon-Ra St. Brown, granted injury, 1.4 points. Alec Pierce, 6.7 points. Chris Godwin, 11 points. Michael Gallup, 0.
Yeah, but these are all receivers.
That's what I'm saying. So I think the inclination is to take that lesson as a whole. I honestly wonder if it's kind of like with pitchers in Major League Baseball. Like a lot of times you're in building tournaments, like you're not like, oh, I can't play Verlander at 37%. He's too chalk or whatever. But you wouldn't play like Aaron Judge at 37%. Like I know that the projecting running backs is going to be more stable than projecting wide receivers because they have a higher number of like iterations per game to get there. But it is interesting to see like the chalk at running back smash that hard and the chalk at wide receiver bust. I mean, there are multiple guys above 10% owned who legit got 0 points.
Really? Like who?
Dobbs and Gallup.
Yeah. Yeah. I had some Gallups mattered into tough scene.
So what did you need to win tournaments? Was it chalky stuff? I mean,
I just have the spy open. So the guy that won 100K in the spy played a 16% owned Joe Burrow, a 40% owned Kenneth Walker, a 12% owned Derrick Henry. This is not Soccer Dave. Chase was 13%. Boyd is pretty much why he won at 2%. Ooh. Oh, and he also played Paris Campbell at 2%. Then Otten. And then our boy, doo-doo shit poopster, 4%.
Too sharp.
And the Green Bay Packers at 2%.
Too sharp.
So yeah, really, man. Really, it was just like get two one-offs correct with a punt tight end and a Burrow double was pretty much what you needed.
Yeah, and you had to nail the Burrow double, right? You had to have Chase and Boyd, and then you're just cruising. If you chalked out, right?
Yes.
And you got like, one off like Juju in there.
Well, I mean, this guy could have just played stone chalk. Like I guess had Henry been a late game guy, but he could have swapped to like if he had had a late game guy, like even if he had had whoever, he could have played Jacobs with that start. He could have played Jacobs. He could have played Eckler. He could have played Eckler. Whoever. Yeah. which maybe is actually something that I should have thought about more, which is like because all the chalk was in the late games, you should have just tried to play a couple early game stacks just to like have information of where you were. Cause like obviously if we were sitting there with Burrow, Chase, even throw Drake London in there, whatever, like with zero, or I guess 1.9, like you still could have played Jacobs with that, I think.
I guess. I mean,
if
yes.
you were down, you wouldn't have kept Jacobs.
But Juju was a late guy, and he didn't know that Juju had smashed yet.
Had smashed, yeah.
Yeah.
So
overall, I mean, overall, it was a tough scene. Like, you know, obviously feel good about the cash. The cash team did really well there. But, Nate, we got buried on prize picks. Not great. Tournament teams, not great. San Diego Padres, not great. It was not great.
Yeah.
I did all right on prize picks. DJ Moore stuff and a couple long guys, Kenneth Walker. There was a couple good prize pick hits, but Debo let me down.
I had a 10 leg parlay at 250 to 1 that didn't hit because Metcalf got hurt.
Oh my god, he killed
you. All 9 other legs?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And what was Metcalf's prop?
Over 55 and a half yards.
Oh no, that's brutal.
It was Lamar over 52 rushing yards, Mahomes over 280 passing yards, Mahomes over 2.5 passing touchdowns, Juju touchdown, Juju over 47 and a half receiving yards, MVS over 35 and a half, Damian Pierce over 70 rushing yards, Kenneth Walker over 69 and a half rushing yards, Foster Moreau over 25 and a half receiving yards, and DK Metcalf.
Tough. That is the toughest of scenes.
You don't particularly love to see it. Of the things you love to see, you don't love to see that. I mean, it's also one of those things, like, I'm not sweating that out all day. I just go check at the end of the day, and it shows you grade by grade which one you hit. And then you see all the green dots, and then you see the red slash through on the Metcalf, and you're like,
wow, wow. Great. The dingleberry on top of your poop Sunday of today's Sunday. That's very
the same game parlay stuff is actually like incredible though. Like, I totally understand why people love that stuff. I mean, it is nothing but pure degen. And my book only lets me do overs too. So it's like it's even better. Like you can only do overs. It's up only, overs only.
That's how I know I'm a square. Like, literally 90% of my prize pick stuff is overs.
I mean, you just gotta find the good spots where the yeah.
Yeah, I'm just happy I got Nate to actually respond to a prize picks prod. This is good.
Yeah,
is
really yeah. The people love the updates.
That's right.
Yeah,
my Mac Collins unders though. That one hurt.
Oh. The slappies with Matt Collins. I mean,
that's what you get for turning your back, Nate.
Nate, you should have just played five Raiders.
I should have. There's always next week. There's always next week.
I mean, yeah.
Luckily, the DK balance is full, so it's fine.
If we liked Josh Jacobs at 60% owned, we're going to love him at 75% owned next week.
Oh, who's let's he see. Play?
I just saw someone make that joke on Twitter, so I assume that... Oh, they play. They play at the Saints next week. I don't know. He'll probably be like 6,800 though.
Yeah.
So then we'll just simply have to do this all over again. All right, let's get out of here, boys. Everyone, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.